starting a shiur.
Good morning, everyone. I was asked to elaborate and expand upon earlier Bein HaMetzarim shiurim. Some were present, some heard the recording. One of the themes we were developing was the concept of stages of grief, stages of avel. This is a well-discussed concept in the world. And I always savor when the world of psychology and modern science in general slowly begins to recognize ancient Torah truths. The concept that avel happens in phases. You have the famous model, 5 stages of grief or 7 stages of grief in the early stages. Denial, anger, bargaining, all reflect a person's inability to come to grips with what happened. They're in denial. They're angry. They're combative. Bargaining. They start to say, well, maybe what if? What would have happened if the doctor wouldn't have botched up, right? As though going down that path, thinking what if with the doctor, right, is going to help your present situation. But that's the way we human beings are, because we're in a stage that we can't face the loss. Then the stage of grief, of depression, emesa atzva set in, and only then healing can happen. And we trace this throughout Megillas Eicha. Right? We trace this, how the expressions of Eicha, how could it be, reflect a denial, but slowly Eicha becomes another Aleph Beis acrostic of Ani HaGever Paragimol, where he says, it's me, Ani HaGever Ani, this is for real. And from there, healing happens. We spoke about the original phase of Avel, but the confounding, just feeling totally unable to cope, as represented by the first Tisha B'Av story, Kol Yisrael in the Midbar. Think about it. That first Tisha B'Av, they were fated to die in the Midbar and not to reach Eretz Yisrael. So it's directly foreshadowing Galus, the loss of Eretz Yisrael, right? That generation lived in Galus and died in Galus. Now, one could have said, we argued, have them stay put. Whether it's in Kaddish Barnea, just have them stay put over there and live out the rest of their years there. But no, they need to circle around again and again. And arguably, this circling around is not bringing them any closer, at least from a geographical standpoint. Right? And we suggested that aimlessly wandering around without a sense that we're getting any closer, a sense of futility, what are we doing with ourselves, is all part of that sense of Galus and Avel, of confusion, not coming to grips with what happened, the feeling of futility. I run. We're just going around. We're walking in circles, right? That proverbial walking in circles. And that's the way a yid feels in Galus for all time emerging from that story. What am I accomplishing? If a person, albeit they're in a sad place, but if they feel, I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm headed, I have clarity, that's already a game changer. The sense of futility is very, very painful. And I would be myself, the verbiage of the Chumash in Sefer Dvarim, describing the Dar HaMidbar as in a state of mehuma, the Gam Yad Hashem Haisabam Limhuma, right? Mehuma means chaotic confusion. They lived chaotically. That is the state of Eicha. How can it be? Well, you have Eicha, right? Call that the proverbial denial, bargaining, anger. And then we move into depression. And we said these are healthy faces. Ani HaGever Ani. This is for real. But Eicha doesn't end there. There are not only 3 Eicha Aleph Beis acrostics, Prakim Aleph Beis Dalad, as well as Ani HaGever. The final psukim in Eicha are called Zechar Hashem Mahayalan. Right? Kinas are based on that part of Eicha, right? It's not an Aleph Beis acrostic anymore. Eicha beginning with Aleph and Yegever written with Aleph, then working to Beis. It's in a totally different, right? We have this as Eicha Parakeh. Zachar Hashem Ahayolamu, right? So you might think that it's kind of just an add-on, right? A tefillah. Zachar Hashem Ahayalana. Please Hashem remember us. However, there's something uncanny here. How many psukim are in Parakei Zachar Hashem Ahayalana? 22 psukim. Just like all the Aleph Beis acrostics are 22 connected to Chaf Beis Isis. It seems that Zachar Hashem Ahayalana is being written symmetrically, right, to match up with the Aleph Beis acrostics, right? It's that actually it's supposed to align. Zachar Hashem Ahayalana is yet another phase, right? Beyond the Eich of the denial, beyond the Aniyah Gevra, the depression, there's another phase here, right? Correlating with 22 psukim connected to Chaf Beis Isis, but for some reason not in Aleph Beis acrostic form. Why? So I would like to explain as follows. Zachar Hashem Ahayalana is a seeking of solutions. It's an acknowledgement. We don't know how to dig out of this pit, but Hashem, at least you remember, you intervene. And it's going to end with Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. Right? At the end of the Eva, and I want to say this very carefully, right, nimbly. As much as we discussed, Avelis is primarily not about solutions. It's feeling the pain. Right? At the end of the stages of grief, as the person reached depression and they're starting to segue towards acceptance, now they can reach out to Hashem and say, Hashem, please intervene. Right? There's a slow segue now to seeking solutions. We're not there yet, but at least Hashem, you intervene. Zachar Hashem Ahayalana. That is part and parcel of the Avel process. It's another phase, and therefore it's written in Aleph Beis acrostic. And it reflects a certain healing, right? Which I'm going to suggest is why it's connected to the Aleph Beis like the others with 22 psukim, but it's not written in, literally in Aleph Beis acrostic. What's the rhymus here? So you remember we discussed in the earlier shiur, what is the oimek of what Chazal say? Because Kal Yisrael was over on the Torah, which is written by Aleph Beis, therefore Eicha was written by Aleph Beis. It just sounds like a loose rhymus, Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis. You could have represented Torah and the fact they were over Torah with, I don't know, Taryag Gematrius. There's something about Aleph Beis. So the way we explained it is, the Aleph Beis are the building blocks of creation, right? All of reality emanated and emerged from the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis are tsuras of those basic ma'iris, divine emanations from which everything else emerged. And we explain that in the state of mourning, when the person feels untethered, they're losing all foundations, the very bedrock. All rocks beneath them have been pulled from under them, right? They're losing a sense of the Aleph Beis. They're losing a sense of that which is most foundational. Kal Yisrael is not just doing Avelis. Avru Torah Shnitna ba'Aleph Beis, what Chazal are being made, which is spiritually, we lost the foundationalism of Torah. Even when a Yid is chayitim, we have a certain general rhythm on a Yid, a certain basic sense of Jewish identity, call it, right? There's a certain b'chinas Aleph Beis, a certain stabilizing sense of what it means to be a Yid. And this has been lost in all senses, we explain. Baruch Nusubakashmas. So most of Eicha is written by Aleph Beis, we explain, to connote. Mourning has pervaded the foundational level of the Aleph Beis. All rocks have been pulled from under us. We are destabilized. However, in Zachar Hashem Ahayalana, when, as we explained, we're beginning to pivot from depression, Aniyah Gevra, to acceptance and solution. Gingerly we're walking there. We're saying, Hashem, intervene here, please. Hashiveinu, have us do tshuva. So now suddenly, the Aleph Beis are not, or really the undermining of the Aleph Beis, it's not as bolet. This sense of losing the bedrocks, the isis, which represents the foundational reality, it's not being severed so much. We're in kind of a limbo, a nebulous territory. We discussed how we waver throughout Avelis. Avelis is not a one and done thing. We waver through Avelis. Right? I mentioned that there's a tendency in our world, in the information age, when people have a lot of access, Right? Everyone can think they're great chacham in any discipline. They just Google it. And today Google is becoming antiquated, right? They AI it, right? So a person could believe, why do I need experts in anything? Right? In colleges, their professors are being faced with the question, why do I need an education at all? Any information I need, I can just AI. Now, it's really a stupid mistake, right? Because learning, including learning of chol, is not about amassing information. It's learning about how to think and how to conceptualize, right? That an AI can never substitute real education. But this is a mistake in the Western world, and you'll have people who think they can do anything with AI. I have a leaky pipe. Why do I need to call a plumber? AI it. Now, if you could be pile with your leaky pipe that way, I have no problem. But how about a person who says, and I don't need a therapist. I will just AI what my syndrome is. People, I'm telling you, this really happens. And it's a horrible admonish. And a person who says, I'm mourning. So, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5-stage of mourning. And let me, in a very linear way, okay, check. I've done the denial thing. Oh, I think I'm in the bargaining, right? And, you know, if you're AIing for a leaky pipe, I don't mind. But nefesh, there we go. That's a separate ob where Bernie's bringing up. But my point is, when a person's a little deeper and kind of developing avelus and grief from the human experience and in a mature way rather than an AI way, it's not a linear pattern, right? We waver between the phases. In one sense, you feel like you're beyond denial. In another sense, depressed. In another sense, right? We kind of waver. And that's why Zechariah Shema Hayolano, even at the end, when there's a sense of moving on, the Aleph phase is nebulously there. Chaf phase can have the Aleph phase, but not directly, in terms of that symbolism of losing our grip on that which is most foundational. And I am also want to explain, based on this sense that we waver, why is it that Echa was oriented, the three Echa Aleph Beis acrostics, which are Prakim Aleph, Beis, Dalet, are scattered. Ani HaGever is spliced in the middle as Perek Gimel. Right? Wouldn't have it been much more organized, have consecutively the three Echas, right? Echa would be Perek, in our Perek idiom, Perek Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and then have Perek Dalet as Ani HaGever. Right? That would have been logical, and not only logical, but actually more authentic, according to Chazal. And Chazal teach that the three Echas Yirmiyo wrote before the Korban, and Ani HaGever he wrote after the Korban, and then they were melded into one text. So wouldn't it maintain, so to speak, the historical accuracy if the three Echas are in one cubbyhole and the Ani HaGever is in another cubbyhole? There must be a lesson to mixing, right, the Ani HaGever and Echa. And I would suggest, as per our suggestion, that Echa reflects a first stage of mourning of denial. And then Ani HaGever, it's me. Stare it down squarely in the mirror. That wretched man is me. Right? Megillas Echa is teaching us that these stages of mourning are not linear. Oh, I'm done with the Echa thing. No more denial. And now I'm squarely in depression mode. It doesn't work that way. There's a wavering in the authentic experience. And even what Yirmiyahu sees in an abstraction before the Korban, and how could it be? Echa, we said, is before the Korban, because it's a sense of this is not for real. And then Ani HaGever is when he's experiencing it. The sense of is this real or is it not real continue to morph on us. And that's why he is writing a discompopulated Echa, where the Echas and the Ani HaGevers, the denial and the depression are all mixed because we waver. And in a certain sense, it's Echa which appears in the beginning and the end. Perek Aleph, Perek Dalet, respectively, because the overall sense of Avel is denial, discompopulation, Ovel ain't Lupin, Ovel has no ability to express himself, right? But there is a slow, subtle movement of resolution and acceptance we are suggesting in the final parak of Zechariah Shema Hayolanu. That is kind of the elaboration of the stages of grief shir, which I gave, and the Oilam told me they were nana from very, very much. A couple of other loose threads. We discussed how the healthy mourning process, got to mourn it through, denial, depression, acceptance, and only then could you move on. And anyone who says, I want to run right to the end zone. I'm in solution mode already. Yeah? A person has a relational issue. And they say, bad relational issue. And the next morning, I'm ready to date the next morning. I'm ready to jump back on the shit horse. Right? A person lost their job. Okay. And they don't allow recovery in terms of just how traumatizing that is. Right? Next enterprise. Right? How that can be very, very harmful, as a prominent psychologist once articulated it. Would anyone think with a physical injury, let me skip this long recovery process, let me skip this PT thing, let me go right to the end zone, yeah? And the morning after surgery, right, start to walk or lift or whatever. But no, we understand there's a healing process. The same thing is true emotionally. And just like if a person accelerates the recovery with the physical element, what happens? They're back on their feet. What happens? What happens every time? They fall back down. The same thing is true, the psychologist was explaining. This fellow's a real chacham. He was explaining psychologically, when we're not honest with ourselves, and I'm a big boy, I can handle this, I don't need to recover, right? I don't want to acknowledge vulnerability, right? The unhealed spirit will be nisoder again, right? Unbidden, it will arise again, and the healthy process of Eval, of Chazal, is leading us in this direction. So we explained for that reason, the Avaida of the season is not primarily Tshuva. Tshuva is to resolve the problem. We did Chatam, we had Chorban, and to say we're going to fix the problem and do Tshuva, that's an ultimate solution, but first you have to mourn. First you have to feel the pain of the rupture of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the tshuva will be meaningful and effective. And we explained it for this reason, that the season of tshuva only follows the season of Eivel. Right? And recall that we trace that in the original Egel story. The original Egel story brought Shviras Haluchos, which was the first Piranias of what? Shiva Sabatamas. The period which follows Shviras Haluchos, Chazal referred to as 40 days of Kass. And we pointed out that directly corresponds to this period. The 40 days of Kass are the final days of Tammuz and Chodesh Av. Right? Then the season of Tshuva follows, leading up to Yom Kippur. Really brilliantly, the story of the Egel foreshadows the Jewish year. All of our Egels, our mistakes, which brought about our Gaulus. First we have days of Kass, and don't run away from the days of Kass, the days of Rak, and the days of Eivel. Right? We need a mourn to be healed. And only then we can have the days of tshuva that follow. I alluded to a correlation between Chodesh Av and the El Tishrei season that follows for this reason, because it's a progression. And let me elaborate. There was interest that for a moment I elaborate upon that. This is the pattern. The pattern is, what are the significant days of Chodesh Av? Reish Chodesh, right? Mishenichnas Av, Matan Simchos, so day one. And then you're going to tell me Tisha B'Av. But it's a little nebulous. Is it the 9th of Av or the 10th of Av, right? The Mikdash was first ignited at the end of the 9th, but then it burns into the 10th. And it's kind of nebulous which one is the day. Rabbi Yochanan said he would have elected that the 10th be the day. We even have Minhagim Avayelos in the 10th. So I'm going to argue Av has association with day 1, and then 9/10. And then Hamisha Asir B'Av, Tu B'Av is a prominent day in this process. It's a yantif, but a yantif that directly relates to the Eivel experience, because some of the simchas of Tu B'Av have a lot to do with Tisha B'Av. For example, one of the simchas of Tu B'Av is the Meisei Midbar stopped dying, right? In the 40th year, they realized on Tu B'Av. Well, the Meisei Midbar were dying due to the Chet of the Meraglim and the Peronis of Tisha B'Av. What's another simcha of Tu B'Av? Another simcha of Tu B'Av is they buried the martyrs of Beitar. Nitan Arugia Beitar Kuru. When were the people of Beitar killed 2 years before? On Tisha B'Av. You see, it's very clear, and we've discussed this in Tu B'Av Shiurim, Tu B'Av is part of the recovery of Tu B'Shvat. So my point is, Chodesh Av is most associated with days 1, 9/10, and 15th. Well, let's move on to Tishrei. What are the prominent days in Chodesh Tishrei and the Tshuva season which follows? Day 1 is Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, well, this is splendid, is also a nebulous 9th-10th connection. Because as much as Yom Kippur is the 10th, the Torah is both. B'chaydash ha-shvi b'tishit b'arav, because also we have Arav Yom Kippur, the 9th, we eat, it becomes ki'il hisna b'chi. It's the 9th, 10th fluid relationship, 1, 9, 10, and then the 15th is, of course, Sukkos, right? So you appreciate how that perfect number parallelism reflects. that the Avel and the Teshuva season are really symmetrical on hand and glove. There's an order how one is supposed to follow the other. We have our healing, our Avel, which brings to healing, and then we seek solutions, which is the Teshuva season. One more Maimer HaMuskar separate point in today's shiur, which is a little of an elaboration shiur. I want to elaborate upon this is a small shtickle, and anyone who needs to go at any point, please do so, right? I want to elaborate upon our thesis of on Tisha B'Av we feel like a leper. On Tisha B'Av we feel like a mitzvah. You remember that shiur? This was our basic thesis. The notion on Tisha B'Av that we feel isolated. Now, a person is not even supposed to give shalom on Tisha B'Av, right? We feel isolated. It's very, very hard. It's very harsh. We're social beings, right? The retreating into ourselves, it's profound. It's real Ava. Touch on something a little controversial. I know a certain Rav, you don't have to agree with him, but he dislikes Tisha B'Av Kumzitzin. He says, Kumzitzin, people think they're making the Avelis more meaningful, but you know, Kumzitzin are very attractive. Right? Kumzitz is a time of deep human bonding. You feel deep masculine intimacy, right? Women claim men don't know how to bond. It's a different form of bonding. A kumzitz is a real masculine bonding territory. When men sit at a kumzitz and bond over a nigga, it's beautiful, it's very powerful, right? But Tisha B'Av, the avodah, is not to feel connected, right? You're actually escaping the pain, right? Group therapy has its place, but you first have to feel bodhanyeshiv. This Rav felt that people are trying to run away. Agree with him or disagree with him. He's suggesting on Tisha B'Av, you need to feel isolated, and then in the Nechama process, right? He said at least after Chatzos, whatever that was his thesis, his social critique. Whether you accept his criticism or not, or maybe people need the kumzitz, I'm not making a social judgment. But the point is, conceptually, the experience of Tisha B'Av is feeling very isolated, Eicha Yashar V'Tad, and we pointed out, the expression B'Didus describes both our Eva and Tzion, Eicha Yashar V'Tad, and the same term is used regarding the Mitzayla, right? The Badad Yeshiv Mechutz L'Machan. And then the pattern compounded, because there's a Pasuk in Eicha, Nishkad Ol Pesha'i, which Rashi renders to mean, my Averis are like spots all over me. I feel stigmatized by spots, right? Imagine walking down the street of you with spots all over you. Like says Rashi, Klal Yisrael feels as though I'm spotted. Everyone's staring at me, and that sense of social stigma. Well, we argued, what is the association? Well, stigmatization through spots. What is the association in Torah? Definitely the Mitzvah, right? Badr Yeshev, on one hand, spots on the other hand. And remember, we discovered, and this is very exciting, how even the terminology of that pasuk nishkan milashin shakedim almonds has a mitzayra connection, because when the pasuk says in parshas kairach that Aaron's staff blossomed into shakedim, Rashi said this represents anyone who starts up with kahuna, they are right to get saras rapidly like a blossoming almond, and that's what happens in the days of Uzziyahu, right when the king tried to become a Kohen, he developed Saras rapidly like Shekadim, so Nishkat Ol Pesha'i, I think that's part of what's underlying the Rashi here, the almond Mitzorah connections and spots, very, very powerful, right? And we took this pattern one step further. Kol Yisrael and Gals feels like a leper, it feels like a Mitzorah. Blossom Bedidas, spots, and then you have Shiluach Machanos, right? A Mitzorah sent out of all three Machanos. Right, Mitzvah is the only level of Tumma, which is absolute. He's banished from what? Machana Shechina, Machana Leviyah, and Machana Yisrael. Well, in Yerushalayim, the halacha is, the Beis HaMikdash has the status of Machana Shechina, the Har HaBayis has the status of Machana Leviyah, and Yerushalayim has the status of Machana Yisrael, right? A Mitzvah in Yerushalayim would have to be sent outside of Yerushalayim. Maybe it's the Har Yehuda somewhere. Maybe we're Ma'alat Umimiz today. Echvesnisht, right? I am very stimulated by this in the context of Tisha B'Av, because the three major places where we feel we lose on Tisha B'Av are the Beis HaMikdash, the Har Abayis, and Yerushalayim. You see this in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tesma Beis. The Gemara says, because they violated Gimel Chamuros, therefore, the Pasuk says in Micha, right? It says, Tzion har ticharish, Tzion is going to be plowed over, Yushalayim is le'iyim, Yushalayim is going to be desolate, and the Mikdash is going to be shamim. And the Maral says that Yushalayim is, of course, Yushalayim, Tzion refers to the Har HaBayis, and the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaMikdash. So these three zones, Mikdash, Har HaBayis, and Yushalayim, these three places which we're losing our hold on precisely corresponds to Machnas the Metzora was thrown out of. To me, this was very compelling. We're like a Metzora, sense of stigmatized spotting, isolated, and sent out of our camps. This was not only a nice pattern, but to me, it spoke to how we need to rehabilitate ourselves in this gullus retreating inward sense. When a Metzora is isolated, he's supposed to be doing something. Or something supposed to be growing somehow. The Rishonim say that when the Metzora sits outside the camp, he's supposed to think for a minute. Hold on. Why am I here? Right? I don't know how to conduct relationships properly. The Metzora spoke Lashon Hara. I have toxic human relationships. Right? Well, I need to think, how am I going to get this relationship thing right before I re-engage? It's like a detox, yeah? People who don't know how to engage properly in certain life experiences need a detox and learn how to re-engage with it properly. I see them at Sarah Al Peter Mishanim as it's a detoxing. He's budded, he's detoxing from human relationships to learn how to re-engage, right? Well, on Tisha B'Av, we're detoxing from relationships with people. I would argue that is a time to rehabilitate in terms of Sinas Chinam. And we're also rehabilitating with the Rabbeinu Shalom. You know, we're less overtly engaged with the Rabbeinu Shalom on Tisha B'Av. It's a more undercover relationship. That's also a Sinas Chinam we're resolving. You know what the Shloss is? The Shloss is that Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon was severing the Avas Hashem, and Churban Beis Sheni was severing the Avas Yisrael. Right? I'm suggesting the Shloss is really taking the Sinas Chinam theme of the Beis Sheni and saying, well, in the Beis Rishon, it was a Sinas Chinam klapi the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right? In fact, if you think deeply, you will find both the word sinna and the word chinam regarding our relationship to the Rabbeinu Shalom and Tisha B'Av as well. Because the first Tisha B'Av in the Midbar, when we cried for no reason, it says, Atem b'chisem b'chi yashel chinam. And it also says the word sinna. Parashas Devarim, this week's parasha, says, Klal Yisrael said, Hashem hates us. B'sinna Hashem Yisano, he took us out. Right, he's taking a stand, and Rashi says, you hate him, it's projection. So you find both sinna and chinam. It's a very powerful pattern, not only in our interpersonal relationships on Tisha B'Av, but in terms of our relationships to Hashem, and this, I think, all lies within the Shloss. And my point is, when on Tisha B'Av, we're kind of isolated, it's a time to detox, right? We're not learning, we're not saying shalom to our friends, both with Hashem, we're conversing less, with people, we're conversing less overtly. We're detoxing from relationships, so to speak, as a Metzora, as per our pattern, so we can feel, how could we get this right now? This pattern now concludes with the following realization. When a Metzora finally re-enters the camp, it's a gradual process. Does the Metzora, one and done, he's Tahar, immediately resume his past life? It's gradual. The Torah tells us, first the Metzora enters the Machana, but he says, does he return home yet? No, he needs to wait 7 days. He's in the camp, but he's not home yet. Chazal explained he does not resume marital intimacy with his wife for 7 days. Right? It's gradual. And we've explained in the past the reason why the Metzora gradually re-enters society and then re-enters family life is because the Lashon of the Chazal is cited by Rashi as the Metzora created machlekes bein adam l'chaveira yubein ish l'ishtai. There are two distinct realms. He caused toxicity amongst people and toxicity amongst families. Right? So Mida Kenaka Mida, right? He is slowly rehabilitating both. He's rejoining the Bein Adam L'Chaveira community when he enters the Machana, but then he still has to rehabilitate, right? I've destroyed marital relations, right? To now re-enter the bias. Why am I so excited about that in terms of Tisha B'Av? The Geula Hasi that we're davening for is not one and done, it's gradual. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Beis, explaining the brachas of Shemona Esther and the different bakashas for Tefillah. First will be the kibbutz nidchei Yisrael. The binyan Beis Hamikdash will only come later. Right? Again, those who believe in Aschalta de Geula jump all over this. Right? The notion that even before Beis Hamikdash is a kibbutz galus first. I'm not getting involved in the politics and Gedol Yisrael's machlekas, but the general notion that first is a kibbutz galus and then a beis hamikdash, I'm going to suggest corresponds to the Messiah who first re-enters the machana, right? So the kibbutz nidchei Yisrael, followed by the binyan Yerushalayim, which the Gemara says comes before the beis hamikdash. That's the first stage of the Messiah. Kol Yisrael is the Messiah as per our pattern. But the Yisrael mechutz lamachana, we're going to rejoin the machana, rejoin the integrated Yiddish community. Then we're going to enter our home, the bias, the marital abode of Hashem and the Ribbono Shel Olam, as Shir HaShirim explains the Mikdash to be. That we're then going to experience when we're healed on that level. We're healed with our Chaver, and we're healed with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as a Mitzayr, we're going to heal on all of these levels. May we all be Zaycha Lakach. This was the elaboration which I promised to do Be'ezus Hashem. May we be Zaycha to see Yeshua's Benachamas. Thank you very much.
Talk about by the Torah. They talk about Genesis, we have to after the Makkah.